Well, after watching Finding Nemo on October 11, Deb from Montreal wrote me, and she found some connotations that were very similar coincidences to Star Trek. Now, Deb has been gracious enough to share a lot of similarities she's found, and you can listen to a much longer version, a conversation that we had with her about the overall Star Trek versus Boston Legal similarities, which we call the parallel universe Trek in the courtroom. But thank you, Deb, for calling back. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure, Dana. It's nice to be in conversation with you again.
How is everything up in Montreal?
Rainy, but pleasant.
Oh, that's good. Not necessarily diametrically opposed.
That's right.
First of all, Nemo, excellent episode, wasn't it?
It was. It was a hoot, and it was reminiscent of Kirk of the old days in many ways.
Yeah. Now, you brought up, right off the bat, one of the Star Trek movies that has a very famous opening scene. Why don't you explain that and tell us the similarities with Finding Nemo?
It's Star Trek V. It's called The Final Frontier. It's not the opening scene, but it's the second scene where we find the heroes Kirk, McCoy, and Spock camping in Yosemite Park. It kind of illustrates Shatner's alter ego as being an outdoors person or an outdoorsman.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that in Boston Legal, we know that he's a skeet shooter, and now we know he's a fisherman.
Mm-hmm.
But in Star Trek V, we see him camping, and a lot of the camping seems to introduce Spock to the pleasures of nature.
Now, in why is that familiar? Yeah.
Because we see Crane introducing Shore to the joys of nature and fishing in particular, of which he is not familiar or has absolutely no experience whatsoever.
And now, as I recall, back in the Star Trek movie, Spock was very reticent about it. He wasn't sure that it seemed logical to be camping, sleeping in the ground, and all that. And Shore was just queasy, flying in a helicopter into this remote location.
And outright says he hates nature.
Yes. Yes.
You know, but
illogical.
In the end, he comes to terms with, the spiritual renewal that, nature can bring a person when they're, out there in the fresh air and, God's country.
Do you remember some of the dialogue from that? And I know that you do because you shared some of it with me earlier.
From the movie
and some of the similarities.
There was a conversation that took place while they were camping. Kirk was rescued when he fell off the cliff by Spock. And McCoy confronts him and says, "You could have almost died." And Kirk responds by saying, "I knew I wasn't going to die because I wasn't alone. And I always knew that I would die alone." And that element of loneliness or being alone is something that, Crane brings up to Shore when they are actually in the cottage together.
Mm-hmm. In fact, let's hear just a little soundbite from Finding Nemo that references just what you said.
What scares you most in life, Nelly? I told you. I got the mad cow, and my penis only works on medication.
Yes, besides that. Dying?
I've died many times. Can we talk about something other than sex?
Such classic.
Right. Right. In the episode Finding Nemo, I've died many times, as though, people will often think that I've died and gone to heaven after they've had great sex. If you know Shatner and you know his former character, Kirk, he has died at least, as far as I know, 3 times. And he died in one of the original episodes where McCoy actually fakes his death, or he actually, injects him and makes him die and then brings him back to life via another injection. That was probably the first instance. And the second instance is he dies alone. He dies alone when he goes to fix engine on the Enterprise B, and he's blown out into space and is probably drawn into this spatial anomaly called the Nexus, where time does not exist. And then in a later movie called Generations, Picard goes back to the Nexus and brings Kirk out of the Nexus to fight a madman. His name is Torin. And there's a hand-to-hand battle, in which case he dies on the mountainside. And his last words was, "It was fun." Mm. So that was the third time he dies. If you really want to go beyond the Trek movies and the Trek videos, you will also have the books, and one of them was written by William Shatner called The Ashes to Eden, where he is brought back to life yet again. So there's a lot of reincarnation. There's a lot of reincarnation going on in Trek.
I know. It's a good theme.
And the reincarnation theme, again, is prevalent in that scene because Shore tells Crane that he was murdered in his past life.
He believes he died in his sleep. He was murdered, actually. Right.
He was murdered in his sleep. And so, again, there's that element reference of reincarnation and dying previously and coming back to life. I love William Shatner's response that you're wacko.
And also in Star Trek, The Final Frontier, that movie that started out with the Yosemite scene, they were all camping, and you reminded me of this because it's been years.
Uh-huh. The bean scene.
Exactly.
Yeah, they're introducing Spock to some of the camp elements of camping, singing sing-along, scary stories, beans. and they mentioned, whether Spock's constitution can handle the exploding mixture of beans and whiskey together, which was McCoy's family recipe or something like that. Again, there's a fart scene.
and
I can't stop thinking about it and laughing at the same time.
And McCoy says, are you kidding? With that Vulcan metabolism, he could eat a bowl of termites and it wouldn't bother him.
I think that it's not exactly parallel, but it's certainly one is reminiscent of the other.
It is. And we do know, in case anybody has not heard of Finding Nemo, and I say heard accurately, there is that scene as the lights go out and there seems to be a noise emanating from Denny Crane. And he just says, don't be offended. Don't take it personally. Keeps away the bad dreams.
Right? Yeah, it keeps away the bad dreams.
Now, it brings us to, I don't know if it's the final parallel. Let's state, first of all, the obvious one. In that same scene when they're getting ready for bed in their little cabin, in their twin beds, Shore is reading a book that talks about the salmon and why the wild salmon are being hurt.
The Stain Upon a Sea, yeah.
Oh, very good. That was the name of the book he was reading. And what does he share with Denny from that book?
The nickname for the sea lice is Klingons. And, of course, Crane looks back at him and says, did you say Klingons? And Klingons being the arch enemy of the Federation in Star Trek.
And that's, of course, that's the one that everybody's going to get. They have no idea how really that's just the obvious one.
Yeah, that's just the obvious one.
All right. One more comparison, I believe, at least there's probably more that I'm not aware of, you can tell me, when there was a reference in Finding Nemo about godfishes. And why don't you relate the Finding Nemo piece, and then I'm going to play a couple of sound bites that you sent me from Star Trek, and then you can talk about it a bit.
Yeah, God is a running theme in Boston Legal, and in the beginning he explains to Shore he wants to take him to the Great Bear Lake, which up in Canada, we refer that beautiful area of Canada as God's country.
Mm-hmm.
The references to going fishing, and then, Spader looks back at Shatner and says, God fishes, as if, God engages in these mundane activities that humans do. Well, that also takes place in The Final Frontier when they actually go to the planet to confront who they think is God, and the sound bites are kind of self-explanatory because this entity is asking for the starship, and then God looks at the entity and says, what does God need with a starship?
Let's hear that.
And
excuse me, I'd just like to ask a question. What does God need with a starship?
That's great.
Yeah, and McCoy actually sort of like elbows Kirk and says, you don't ask God for his ID.
Jim, you don't ask the Almighty for his ID.
Very impertinent.
Yeah, well, in a way, but that's only because, at that particular moment, Kirk doesn't believe he's actually confronting God.
Mm-hmm.
He knows that this is an imposture.
And then finally, let me play this one.
Well, don't just stand there. God's a busy man.
Yeah, that happened a little earlier when they actually head off to the Great Barrier. The Great Barrier, the Great Bear Lake.
Oh, that's true. Another interesting coincidence. Or not.
Just a play on words, maybe. I'm not sure.
And, of course, I'm remembering you did mention that God being very casual in his relationship with Crane, Poole, and Schmidt's firm is a running theme. And I remember season one when they were on the balcony and said something like, this is a blue state. God has no reason
place
to be
Massachusetts.
Yeah, no reason
like
to be here. God does not recognize blue states. Something like that. I don't know. God's conservative.
as though, you know, they know firsthand, right?
Yeah, exactly. He talks to God all the time.
All the time.
All right. Well, is there any other that have popped up before we move back into Finding Nemo as our conversation with Kyle continues? Any other things you can think of?
No, I just kind of think that, you know, Shatner, when he directed The Final Frontier, probably had a lot of influence on how his character was written as an outdoorsman. And I find that, you know, in this particular episode, we see once again Shatner playing, when he's not in the courtroom or in his office, he's an outdoors person.
Mm-hmm.
Something that he draws on from real life experience.
Well, and actually, in The Final Frontier, they were called out of the wilderness, you know, out of Yosemite, when they were called to settle the intergalactic emergency. Just
and they're also called out of the wilderness because they wanted to go to Port Elliot, was it? To speak as friends of the court.
Oh, Port McNeil, yes.
Port McNeil. And they wanted to do that as well. They wanted to go get called out of the wilderness and go do their regular jobs as lawyers.
That's right. And I thought it was interesting, and you pointed this out, that they were in The Final Frontier. They were on shore leave. You know,
that's
I'll let
right.
everybody draw that conclusion.
Oh, good one, Dana.
Thank you very much. This is really great, Deb. I hope that, is these, of course, a new episode, new possibilities, right?
Yeah.
All right. We're going to have you back. Thank you very much.
Okay. Next time.